Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm adjusting my hat here this morning because I have to confess to all of you. Let me get this up here on the screen here real quick. I got to confess to all of you that yesterday, I couldn't believe it. My hat was crooked. I looked at the show and my hat was like that, and nobody told me. It looked like it was Woody Hayes after he punched Charlie. What was that guy's name for Clemson? It was like 40 years ago today, 30 years ago today, that Woody Hayes, Charlie Bauman, Ohio State was playing Clemson in the Gator Bowl. And Charlie Bauman intercepted the pass as the game was running down, and Woody sucker punched him. Yeah, that's right, the coach. Woody's like 68 years, about my age probably. Woody sucker punched Charlie Bauman. And so his hat got like that, I think, Woody's hat did. That's kind of how I felt yesterday. So next time that happens, somebody texts me and say, Coach, straighten your hat up. You look like a you look like what everybody says you are. So I straightened my hat up here this morning. Man, it's been overwhelming. I just got to. I'm so anxious for tomorrow to come because tomorrow will be 2021. That's hard to believe, isn't it? And beginning tomorrow, I'm quit eating again. Now, I've tried. It's no wonder I gained weight. This last couple of days, as we've been preparing for the trip to Washington, D.C., been a lot of time in front of the computer, a lot of it. I try not to munch and eat much, but it's been a lot of it. We are, folks, this is unbelievable. We've cut off registration. If you want to go to Washington, D.C. with us, you can't. Now, you can still go to Washington, D.C., and you can still meet us there. But we've worked our fingers and toes and ears and eyes to the bone trying to organize this thing. And we have right now, if my numbers are correct, over 120 people. We've got... of two floors of a hotel and logistics involved with all of that. And some great work behind the scene with Gary and Polly and Mike and everybody, Jared, everybody's making that happen. So if you want to go still and you haven't registered, well, contact us and you'll have to make your own reservation. We just got to cut it off, folks. It's a good problem. It's a great problem to have. We just got too many. Okay. So 120, think of that. I just prayed before we went on the air. Wasn't there 120 in the upper room? I think there was. And I just continue to be amazed at the reach that this little podunk show has, and honored that you guys would be all in the way that you are, and some of you who want to come and can't come, and some of you just, and the numbers of you who've stepped forward and who've made donations and offerings to help pay for others. Hey, you can still do that. I'll tell you, we never have enough money. Okay, we never have enough. We probably have this trip canceled. I don't know how much this one will be. I'm guessing neighborhood of $4,000 or $5,000, rental cars and hotels. See, now understand this: the people who registered online, they send in $65, right? But there's a lot of expenses that are associated with it, and so if you still want to help us out there, you can do that. Just go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on donate and. We'll take your money. And I love my wife. Do I ever say that? I love Michelle. And she really kind of gave me a focus this morning about the show that I want to jump into it. There's so much. Before I jump in, somebody right now, their heart is beating because they see or heard something that they just got to get out. And sometimes they don't get a chance to do it. So I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to shut up and say, somebody's out there got something they feel like they need to say or want to say. So come on in. Yep.
Yeah, we didn't lose. We didn't lose on November 3rd. We're not going to lose now. This is America. This is our country, and we're taking it back.
We don't know what that's going to look like yet, do we, Vinny? We don't know what that's going to look like. But, folks, if you watched anything on the news yesterday, 450,000 fraudulent ballots in, was it Georgia? One state alone, 450, maybe it was Pennsylvania. Almost a half a million fraudulent ballots. Not unbelievable, right? And it's popping out. Same thing's happening in, was it Arizona? And same thing's happening in Georgia. This thing's far, far from over. But, you know, I'm going to get into a couple things there. I don't want to talk a whole lot about politics, although we're going to mix it in. I'm going to try to do that. What we talked yesterday, convergence or confluence of events and of things that are going on around us that are all seem to be coming together here. I'm telling you, I'm honest as I can be. I don't think we're at the end times. We're at the end times. We've been at the end times since forever. I think we're going to wake up in 2050. I won't be here. And it's still going to be a world here. I still think that. Now you say, well, Coach, man, you know, you read the Bible. Yeah, no, I read the Bible. I do read it. But I just think so. I just think. And I think we're in a confluence and a convergence of events that's going to forever alter the way that we live. I mean, what that's going to look like, I don't know. I really don't even know. I couldn't even begin to conceive. I mean, the amazing stuff I come across, amazing stuff that's out there. I want to share some of it with you today. And I still feel somebody's got something to say. That's why I'm hesitating. Anybody?
Well, Coach, just real quick on that voter thing. I don't know if everybody realized that yesterday while they were holding the hearings in Georgia, they abruptly paused and had a guy come up there who was not one of the speakers and showed them and said, we just broke into the Dominion election system here in Georgia. We're letting you know.
Hacked it in live.
Live time right there in front of them, man. It stunned them all.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. It's amazing.
And Coach, so, you know, Pence canceled his trip to Israel, you know, Pence canceled.
That's right. He did. So again, hey, folks, speculation doesn't get us anywhere, right? It's just know something's out there and something's coming. And John Paul Jones, I think, always said, we have not yet begun to fight. And that's really the way I feel about it. I got to say this. I was thanking my wife. I thought, if you didn't watch yesterday's show, you ought to go back and watch it because it is really pretty powerful, very really powerful. So I slept really great last night, by the way. Caught up on some of my sleep, but I was coming down the steps, getting ready to come down the steps. I get up about 5:30. Michelle comes crawling out about 6:45, sometimes a little bit earlier than that. She came crawling out this morning, and she does what she always does. She sat down, she got out her Bible, and I'm over here doing one thing. She's sitting over in the corner. Just quiet little Michelle reading her Bible. And she said, wow, honey. Wow. And I said, what? Wow. And she says, Malachi. It's Malachi. She says, yeah, I'm reading Malachi. Wow. Then she said something that really, really jumped all over me. It's where I want to start today. Here's Mike, if you can, or Spencer, pull up. It says, fear of the Lord. And I began thinking about all the characteristics that you and I in our churches today and anywhere that you find Christianity in America, you don't really hear much about the fear of the Lord. When you hear the characteristics, when you hear of things that we ought to, you know, we all know how to act like Christians, how to behave. But Michelle said, honey, you read Malachi. It's about the fear of the Lord. So what? She said, yeah, and I started reading Malachi. I'm looking over here. And we're going to go there in a second. If I can get this thing, I can't get my screen to open up here. So I look like a fool. So maybe this is what I do. I do that. Maybe that'll do it. There I did it. Thank you, Lord. And so I went to, I Googled. Relevant verses. Hey, folks, I want all of you to ask yourself this right now. When's the last time you went to church and heard a hard-hitting sermon on the fear of the Lord? When was the last time you sat down with your children or your grandchildren and taught them that they should be afraid of God? They need to be afraid of the Lord. A holy, respectful, healthy fear of God. Anybody heard any sermons on that one lately?
I don't want to steal your thunder, but that was my opening in prayer last night. I'm just saying.
Well, you're not stealing any thunder. It just shows we're connected to the same power source, doesn't it?
Thank you, Coach.
The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And so I do what I often do when I'm doing show prep. I just Google it. And I Googled fear of the Lord. And how many, look at these. Look at these things that are up here about the fear of the Lord. And to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Are we teaching that to our kids? Are we learning that in our churches? Or are we dancing around with flags and declarations? And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111 says, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Is there any reason why we have so much confusion in this country? And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. Before honor comes humility. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Somebody say amen. Say amen on that one. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord prolongs life. But the years
amen, Coach.
Yeah, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. I'm reading up on my screen right now if I'm not looking at you, okay? The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. That one may avoid the snares of death. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. And he will be
amen.
The ability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and turmoil with it. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For those of you who aren't following along on the screen, this is a list of things in the Bible, different verses. Praise the Lord, Psalm 112. Proverbs 2. Then you will discern the fear of God and discover the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord, Psalm 112. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. 128, a song of ascents. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Is there a theme here or something? Huh? Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 8, is to hate evil. What? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth. I hate. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for God has not come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
Yes.
The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Is not your fear of God your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? Proverbs 14, he who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. But he who is devious in his ways despises him. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. You shall eat in the presence of the Lord, Deuteronomy says, your God, at the place where he chooses to establish his name, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and your flock, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Colossians, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. This isn't King James, by the way, I don't think. Psalm 34, come, you children. Listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, boys and girls, why don't we hear more of this? Why do we teach our children, or why do we spread a gospel everywhere we go? Say, well, Coach, just preach the gospel. When you preach that gospel, is it fear? Is that what it is? Most people, well, it isn't, is it? And so we because we don't have the fear of the Lord, the idea that any time he could crush you like a bug, a healthy fear of the Lord. The idea that when you are watching that pornography, he is watching over your shoulder. And at any time, he could swat you down. The idea that whatever that sin might be. Because why? It's the fear of the Lord that keeps me in line. Remember when you're that's mixing stories there, Coach. Be careful. Blessed are the peace makers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Not peacekeepers. We've been all through this. Not peacekeepers. Peacemakers. And who do you fear? Do you fear the peacekeeper or do you fear the peacemaker? I've used this illustration before. When I was a young kid growing up with five of us in our house, my mom was the peacekeeper. She was always trying to keep us from fighting each other. And, you know, my wife's a peacekeeper when the grandkids are here, trying to keep them from arguing and fighting with each other. Grampy is the peacemaker. David, stop that! I'm the peacemaker. And you know what? David fears me. You know what else? David loves me. David loves me because he fears me. Or does he fear me because he loves me? But there's those two are in, they're linked. Those are linked. I know the Lord loves me because I know what he could do to me if he doesn't. Yeah. Somebody help me out. I'm kind of out here on an island.
Coach, I'm telling you, man, Psalms 19, verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord is pure and it is clean. Brother, that is so profound. When you're dealing with the confidence and all of these other things, we have to ask ourselves, is our fear of the Lord because of our uncleanliness and our impurities are in our heart? Or are we right before God that our fear of him is, like you said, because of his holiness, because of his almightiness? Is the fear of the Lord pure and clean in our heart? This is an examination that we have to do as Christians.
If we were afraid of him and we knew he was watching, we wouldn't do a lot of the stuff we do. Coach Mark, come on in.
Amen.
Now, this is a great teaching because you spent a lot of your time trying to get a lot of us to overcome the fear of man. And a lot of times when we do that, we think the opposite of the fear of man is not the fear of man. But the opposite of the fear of man is actually the fear of the Lord. So that's why this is a great teaching.
Amen. Because of that respect, that course of respect, they flow together, see? They flow together. You fear the Lord, you learn to fear your parents. You learn to fear your teachers. You learn to fear those in authority. A healthy fear. A healthy fear. And what do we see out in the streets of America today? People aren't afraid of the cops. They've diffused the cops. They've deballed the cops. They cuss at cops and throw stuff at cops. Why? They don't have any fear. Why? Because they don't have any fear of the Lord. No fear of the Lord. Dr. Diamond, come on in. Don't hear you yet, John.
You hear me this morning, Coach.
Yes.
You hear me good? Hey, I just read an article yesterday. I want to share with you here. I share with you one quote because it's pretty powerful. But this is a quote from Dr. Bruce Waltke, who's the foremost living authority on wisdom literature in the Old Testament. And he says this about fear. He says, "With the alphabet is to reading, notes are to music, numerals are to mathematics, the fear of the Lord is to the attaining of wisdom." So without the fear of the Lord, you can't even understand wisdom or knowledge. Without an alphabet, you can't read. Without music, you can't. You can't play music without notes. You can't add without numbers. You cannot understand knowledge. And that's what it says in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. One of the reasons we have such division in the body of Christ between, you know, people like us and the lukewarm, complacent church is basically they have no fear of the Lord. They think and they teach the fear of the Lord just means reverence and to have respect for. Right. No, it's fear. Jesus said, fear him who can throw you in hell. And that is not taught at all in Christianity today.
It's not. And fear is the forerunner of respect. Let there be no doubt about it, right? Hey, I wasn't in the military, but those of you guys who went through boot camp, you know what it is. You learn to fear you don't love your sergeant. You fear your sergeant, right? You respect him because you know at any moment he can come down and whack you. Now, we know that the Lord isn't going to come down and just all of a sudden whack you, but hey, he can, right? It's the beginning of wisdom to understand that he is the one that's teaching you that wisdom. Come on in, Silver.
I was going to say, Coach, basically what you said, because I was in the military, and I remember boot camp, and it was kind of horrifying for some people. I understood obedience and fear as it came from my father. He said, "Are you scared of me?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Do you love me?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Well, you learn how to do this then you learn how to serve the Lord. Because when you learn to fear the Lord, because you didn't understand what fear of the Lord was.
And I still don't.
You know, but fear ultimately is hell. Of what's going to happen to you if you don't get in line.
And you know what's happened to us, Joe? We've traded the fear of God for the fear of man, haven't we? That's why we're in the mess that we're in. And that's why me personally, I got some deliverance yesterday, because I'm going to say it real loud and real clear. I'm not afraid of the IRS. I'm not afraid of the government. I'm not afraid of them anymore. Not afraid. But hey, whatever happens, happens. Whatever happens, I'm not afraid of them anymore. I'm not going to live like that. I'm not going to live like that. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. If I'm fearing the IRS more than I'm fearing the Lord, we got us a serious problem. And can I tell you the truth? A lot of churches aren't they? They're more afraid of the government. They're more afraid of a virus. They're more afraid of somebody saying they're not very Christ-like or not being the fear of man, the Bible says, is a snare. And we're being taught to put our foot in that snare. I ain't going to do it anymore. I want you to love me. I don't care. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. I'm going to say it like it is. I'm going to call it the way the Lord has called me to say it. I hope you like me. But then, hey, somebody said the other day, well, he's abrasive. But, yeah, I am. Not in a mean way. Just kind of call him like I see him. And we don't hear much of that anymore. Why? Because we're afraid of men and the reaction of men. Okay, here's what the Lord told me to do today. You're going to think I'm crazy, although I don't care. I want you to pull up for me, Spencer, Malachi. Because Michelle was reading this morning, and the Holy Spirit said to me, as she would read for a little bit, and then she'd all of a sudden she'd pipe up, and she said, listen to this. And she'd read me a couple of lines. I said, wow, where is that? And she said, Malachi. And then it'd go quiet again. She said, wow, listen to this. And she'd read it again. I said, well, where is that? She said, it's in Malachi. I'm thinking, gee, really? Really? So I thought, you know what? We need to read us some Malachi this morning. We need to read Malachi. So we're going to do it right here, right now. You guys are going to do it. Hey, Mike, if you can get on my screen and get it so I can see all the faces. Listen, I'm stuck on the screen looking at me. I mean, I really like me, but that's all I'm seeing is me. And so if I can find presentation, there, that thing. Now we've got to pin that to the screen. I don't know why I have to pin it to the screen. But there I did. Okay, it's up on there. And hey, Joseph, I'm going to call out some of you, okay? I'm going to call out some of you. We're going to read this entire book of Malachi. Because I want you to listen. After we just talked about here, you're going to hear that the central focus of this is fear of the Lord. It's the central focus of this book of Malachi. As Michelle, God bless Michelle, was up there reading it to me. So, I'm just going to, hey, Joe, Silver, you start out, and Silver, you read about six verses, and then Dale, you get ready to read the next six, and we'll just kind of do it that way, okay? Go ahead, Joe.
All right. The book of Malachi, chapter 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi.
It's a burden. It's a burden, Joe. It's a burden of the word of the Lord. Go ahead.
I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts.
What are they going to do, Joe? I'm sorry. They're going to return and build the desolate place. Okay, go ahead.
They shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness. And the people whom the Lord hath indignation forever.
Wow.
And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel.
Go ahead, Dale. And after Dale is going to be Mark Collier. You're going to go next to Mark. Go ahead, Dale.
A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be the father, where is my honor?
Where is
the
father?
If I be the master, where is my fear? Where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts, you, O priest, that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?
Who's he talking to, Dale?
Ye offer polluted bread.
Dale, who's he talking to? He's talking to the church leaders.
He's talking
the priests,
to me.
Right?
Yep. I just said it. He's talking to me. You offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, where have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person?
Amen.
As the Lord of hosts.
Is the king going to take that crap you're giving to me? The Lord says, you're going to give me the sloppy seconds? Boy, this is good.
And now I pray you beseech God who will be gracious unto us.
Mm.
This has been your means. Will you regard your person, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there even amongst you that would shut the doors of the naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you.
Says,
I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand.
Wow.
For in the rising of the sun until its going down of the same name shall be great amongst the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. A pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen.
Yes, it should be. Yep. That's right.
But you have profaned it, that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible.
Go ahead and finish the chapter there, Dale.
You say also, behold, what a weariness it is that you have snuffed at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you have brought that which is torn, and the lame, and the sick, and thus you have brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, says the Lord?
Man.
But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and a voweth, and a sacrifice unto the Lord, a corrupt thing.
For I
am the great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful amongst the heathen.
Wow, let me stop right there. This is like a Bible study, isn't it? Let's do a review of that. Just right there, right? He said, I'm a great king. Why are you guys bringing me all this? Why am I getting the seconds? I don't deserve the leftovers. Why am I getting the leftovers? He said, you wouldn't go give that to a king. You wouldn't go give those leftovers. Why are you giving them to me? He says. He says, but be cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male and valeth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. I'm the great king, he said, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Wow, Malachi. Whoa. Flip over to Malachi 2. Hey, Mark, I'm going to have you read the next one. But listen, folks, here's what I'm going to do. I don't know if some of you have your microphones on. If I call on your name, then you'll feel bad. You can't read. So after Mark's done, who's going to read next? Tell me right now.
Lyle Brett can read.
Who?
Lyle Brett.
You're next, brother. You're next. But go ahead, Mark. You can go ahead and start here. You do the first six verses here, Mark.
And now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you.
Who's this for? Who is this
for? The priest.
Now, hang on a minute. We're not talking about the guy that stands alone in the pulpit. We're all priests. You understand this? Huh? You got to personalize this.
A holy priesthood, a peculiar people.
Amen.
If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart.
Oh, my.
Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast. And one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared, and was afraid before my name.
Read that again, Mark. Read that again.
My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear within wherewith he feared me.
Wow.
And was afraid before my name.
He was afraid before. Keep going.
That's why I forgave him that covenant. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity.
Unbelievable. Ohio Brett, pick up there, brother.
Verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way.
We sure have.
Ye have caused many to stumble at the law.
Oh,
ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people. According as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial.
Oh, is that going on in Washington, D.C.? Are they partial towards the law? They're not keeping his ways, and they're partial. In other words, they don't have fair treatment for everybody, do they? Keep going there, Brett.
Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother? By profaning the covenant of our fathers.
Help us, Lord.
Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Oh. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange God.
I'm going to stop you there a second, Brett. Come back down there a little bit, Spencer. Folks, are you listening to this? For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved. So Judah was telling everybody how much he loved the Lord, and yet he profaned him. Why? He married the daughter of a strange God. Folks, we are marrying daughters of strange gods. The church is full of strange gods that we're married to. Amen. Amen. I'm getting goosebumps. Keep going, Brett.
The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts.
Amen. Who's going to jump in? Somebody jump in.
And this have ye done again.
Done it again, Larry. They've done it again. Go ahead.
Covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offending anymore, or receive it with goodwill at your hand.
In other words, how many times are you going to come and repent and say you're sorry? Stop it already. Keep going, Larry. It's good stuff.
Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously.
Wow.
Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant? And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue is of the Spirit. And whereof? Wherefore one, yet he might seek a godly seed. Wow. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth.
Amen, brother. Amen.
For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hath putting away for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of his hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of...
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my... Larry, you got to read that again. You got to read that again, Larry. Where
when ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the Lord of judgment?
Wow. And that, isn't that what the church is doing? Tolerance, diversity, acceptance. Who are you to judge? He said, "You look, when have we done that to you, Lord? When we've wearied you? Well, when you say that those guys, those evil ones, those ones are doing over, that's okay with me. It's okay with me. See, we're the ones that are responsible for it. We're serving other gods. Somebody else jump in there. Who we got? Get the next one up. There's only four chapters. It won't kill us. Somebody, be aggressive.
Fine, here, kick off.
Trying to get
three.
The mic on.
Go ahead.
Behold, I will send my messenger,
and ye shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye dealt in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth in Betcha. He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap.
So folks, his coming's awesome. Hang on. His coming's a good thing, but it ain't gonna feel very good. It doesn't seem
that's like right.
It ain't gonna feel very good. Yeah, as my buddy Flip Benham says, sometimes God's love hurts. keep coming. Go ahead.
Okay, and ye shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Oh, righteousness.
Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the scorers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those oppressed, the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stronger or stranger who is right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
That's a good one.
Huh? Yeah.
That's a good one.
they're all good ones. I'm amening myself sick here. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Go ahead, Chad 7.
Sorry, I wasn't ready. All right. All right, 7. Even from days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?
In other words, why? Why? Wherein means why? Why should we return?
Good question. Uh-huh. Will a man rob God? Yet he have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings?
Let me stop right there a second, Chad. See, this is where you get beat over the head in your church about tithing, right? If everything we've read right now, this thing ain't been about tithing. This has been about disobedience and not respecting the Lord, right? And so now he's just pointing out different ways that we've been disobedient. They said, where have we been disobedient? He said, okay, let me give you one example. Tithes and offerings. So he's providing a list. He's not talking about tithes. Go ahead, Chad.
Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Now listen, folks, he's not talking about getting money because you're paying your tithes. He's talking about obedience. Obedience. Fear of the Lord and obedience. It's not the giving of your tithe that opens the window. It's the obedience that opens the window. Go ahead, Chad.
And pour you out a blessing. See, that you'll never outgive God.
No.
He'll never owe you. You'll always owe him.
That's all right.
11, and I will rebuke and devour for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts.
No, wait, is this about the tithe? Is this about the tithe, or is this about the fear and obedience of the Lord? This is not about the tithe. It's simply an example. You guys have not done what I've asked you to do. And let me give you an example. Tithes and offerings. You haven't been doing the right thing and you're giving. Your heart hasn't been in the right way because your heart hasn't been in the right way. Everything's messed up. But he says, if you get back and you get be obedient, I'm going to open up the windows. But it's not the giving. It's the obedience. Who's coming in next? Good job, Chad. I didn't know you could read. And by the way, if you notice this, we talked about this yesterday. We're not reading 12 different versions. We're all listening to the same word, the same time. Say, yeah, coach, some of these words are hard for me to understand. Well, go back and look them up. Who's up? Somebody come on in here.
All right, here you go, coach. We're at 15, right?
We're 13, aren't we? And it's 13. Because all the nations forever called the United States blessed, didn't they? Verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed. All nations will. Why? For you shall be a delightsome land, say the Lord of hosts. Why? Because we were obedient to the precepts of the Lord. Go, Chad. Clay 13.
All right. I'm reading off the screen, so help me out, Spencer. We're at 16, right?
It's 13. 13.
13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?
When we've been against you, Lord, we go to church, we do praise and worship, we ordain homosexuals. When have we been against you? Keep going.
Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy.
Oh, boy.
Yea, they that work wickedness are set up.
Come on.
Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered.
Wow.
Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name.
Stop there a second. Go, but come back down there a minute, Spence. Come on, folks. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another in the huddle. And the Lord heard it.
And
he said, why didn't listen to them? He said, I'm going to make a book of remembrance. Look what those guys are doing. He wrote it down. Before him, for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Now, look, I'm not raising a huddle up as something special, but that's what we're doing here, isn't it? And the Lord noticed it. He noticed it. He wrote it down. Go ahead, Clay.
And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him.
I got to stop you there, Clay. Who will be mine? Who will be mine at 17? And they shall be mine. Who shall be mine? Why, the ones he's written that book of remembrance about, the ones that feared him and followed him. Finish it up, Clay.
Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, that's that confluence that we're seeing right now, I think. Next chapter, last chapter. Folks, do you understand that Malachi does not tell you to give a tithe? You understand that? You understand Malachi is simply giving you an example? He said, Lord, how have we disobeyed you? He said, okay, let me tell you, your money. And here's what you're supposed to be doing. You ain't doing that. That's not a command to tithe. Sorry. That's an Old Testament command. I think you ought to give. I think you ought to give more than 10%. Malachi 4. Who's up here? Come on, step in here. Who's up?
I'll go, coach.
Go.
No matter. I'll read.
Okay.
Go ahead. Somebody else take it. I'll take it out.
No. I want somebody. Hang on a second. Audience participation. One turn. Go. Who's next?
I'll take it, coach. This is Tim.
Go, Tim.
For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. that it shall leave them neither root nor branch.
Woo! Well, I caught fire.
But unto you that fear my name,
shall the
sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall.
Look what else we're going to do, Tim.
Yeah. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under your soles, under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
What's he going to do, Tim, when he does that?
Yeah, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
That's the last word that Almighty God spoke in his Bible for 400 years. That's the end of the Old Testament. The Lord was for 400, I think it was 400 years. Not another word from the Lord for 400 years. And J.R., what's he leave talking about? Families. They'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Michelle, God bless you. Obedient wife. It's amazing, isn't it?
Fear one thing world. There, Dave, on five, let's back up to five again. We're talking about fear in the Lord. It talks about the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day.
Right.
He's not coming down with the big yellow ball with the smiley face on his face.
That's dreadful, man. It's dreadful. And we would be all better off if in our confidence that we're saved, we still had a bit of edge and maybe we weren't, right? But say, yeah, coach, it's by grace you're saved, not by works. Yeah, but you know what? If I had the fear of the Lord, I might be cleaning up some of my works a little bit here. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody say amen on that one?
Amen.
And we don't. We're grace, 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 love, 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 mercy, mercy, mercy. Not fear. We don't talk about the fear of the Lord. We got 13 minutes here. Somebody help us wrap this up.
Didn't it say somewhere about grace without works is dead? Somewhere.
That's faith.
Faith. Well, still, without works.
That's right.
And, you know, that's one of the things that surprises me. Every time I read Malachi, I get this. You know, they talk about this is for tithes and offerings. I'm going, no, it's not. People don't even know what tithes are.
That's right. It's not. It's just been a convenient club they hit you over the head with, right?
That's exactly right. Tithes are based on an increase, a tenth of the increase. A wage is not an increase. A wage is an exchange of your time.
Amen. Amen. By the way, wages are not income either, folks. Huh? I'm getting back to yesterday. Wages are not income. See, folks, when you go to work for your boss, you trade your time, effort, and energy for whatever it is he wants to do. And he gives you money in trade for your time, effort, and energy. That's not income. Folks, that ain't income. And the IRS knows it. And the tax code knows it. When they first put the tax code in, you weren't charged on your income. There's no such thing. They lied to us. I don't get on that horse. Boy, oh boy. Yeah, come on in.
Hey, coach, notice this, that where there's the fear of the Lord, there's obedience. And where there's the lack of the fear of the Lord, it's a hypocrisy. It's a system of hypocrisy.
Amen.
Matthew 10:28 says this, fear not him who can destroy your flesh. Right there. You don't fear Fauci. You don't fear the mask. You don't fear the COVID virus. Fear not him who can destroy your flesh, but rather fear him who can destroy your flesh and cast your very soul into hell.
Man, that's it, man.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
I know. I felt like, you know, what's happened to the modern day church is that instead of making pastors like the Black Robe Regiment, they're more like Mr. Rogers.
Putting a little sweater on, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not disparaging him, but I'm just saying that's what a lot of it's be your neighbor and all this stuff. And I mean, this is some good teaching.
Well, we're just reading it, right? See, I go back to my Catholic upbringing, and I know there's some other ex-Catholics in the crowd, and I can remember, guys, I used to have to go to confession. I was about, when did you get your first communion? First communion is like 8, maybe 9. I can't remember. I can remember.
7.
Seven? Okay. I can remember when I did my first communion, and that was a ceremony that all of us did together, did our first communion. And then that next communion, I had to go to confession on my own. And I can remember sitting outside that confessional. I was 8, 9, whatever it was. I was about to wet my pants. I was scared to death. And I was going to go in there, and I was going to open that curtain and go in there and sit down there and close a curtain. And there's going to be some guy on the other side of that curtain and sitting in a box. And I had to tell him what I'd done. And every time I knew I had to go to confession, I was one scared boy. Now, sadly, it didn't always affect me when I was away from the confessional, if you know what I'm talking about. But boy, I got to go in there and tell that guy what I've done. Are you kidding me? Woo! Anybody say amen? Know what I'm talking about? We don't have that reverence about anymore. We don't have that reverence.
Amen. Oh my gosh, that was so much. I'm sitting waiting, and I know what I have to tell him. And I'm wondering how many Hail Marys I'm going to have to say to them.
Yeah. Or they're going to strike me dead before I get them out, right, Joe?
Right. And then your father would ask you, did you go to confession today? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Did you do your penance? Yes, sir. You know?
Uh-huh. See, here's the sad thing. We ought to be able to confess to our fathers, shouldn't we? Shouldn't have to go sit in some confessional. We ought to have a relationship with our father, our earthly father, where I can sit my dad down and say, Dad, you know what I did yesterday? I really screwed up yesterday. And see that in the whole, I don't want to bang on that thing, but in that whole thing, the father, the head of the family is bypassing. My authority is first and foremost to my father. And my father is the go-between, in a sense, between me and my heavenly father. It's my dad's job to train me to fear my heavenly father. I ought to go confess to my own dad. There ought to be a time where we sit down and say with our young kids and teach them, okay, what'd you do? What'd you do this week that you're ashamed of? What'd you do? Come on. And to be able to get delivered of that burden, of that sin that they're carrying around, that they can be more in a right relationship with their heavenly father. Maybe some of the problems we're having in our families is because the children aren't in the right relationship with their earthly father. And so therefore, when they think of their heavenly father, they think of going sitting in that black room, pulling that curtain and having that guy on the other side. His ear would be up against, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? His ear would be up against the screen. You'd be telling him, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 1 week since my last confession. And I was mean to my mom and I disrespected my brothers and sisters. And y'all know what I'm talking about. And I've also always honored Catholicism for this purpose. It taught me a fear and reverence of God. I was scared to death to go into that confessional.
I think that was, I don't know if it was Billy Sunday or Charles Finney. And he said people would try to come forward for the altar call and he'd tell them to sit down. You're not ready yet. Because there's a difference between just being exposed because of your sin and rather than exposing your sin. One, you know, Coach, that's absolutely correct about the fathers and the children. One of the things that I have learned, from the difference from my first son and my second and third son is that my third son has seen that when my sons confess to me their wrongdoings before I catch them in their wrongdoings, brother, I sit down and I talk with them. There's, even though there's that fear and trepidation about having to confess, that they realize the punishment is that most kids relate that if I tell my dad what I did, he's going to knock the snot out of me. And that's personally, I think, yes, there's consequences to the sin, but that's a bad thing. When my kids see that there is that, not that kind of a consequence, that my son, Levi, brother, man, he is always saying, Dad, I need to talk with you. It creates a transparency because he realizes that I'm in his corner wanting to help him and not just punish him.
Boy, Dale, you know, it's a sad thing. I'm just sitting there thinking, as you're saying that, speaking for a lot of you out there, how many of you wish that your own relationship with your own son was better? And Malachi says, Malachi, God doesn't speak to us again for 400 years. What's he say? When I do come back, I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their dads. Something about fatherhood that is so important. In fact, I got it from memory. I'm doing this. Matthew, go to Matthew real quick. Go to Matthew.
And coach, while you're going to the Matthew.
Yep.
A week and a half ago, my son and David and I, you know, David, brother, he's a concrete split image of me. Same bullheadedness. Brother, we got into it right in my house, and I let him know this is my house and all of this. But at the end of it, brother, sometimes fathers need to repent to their children.
Amen.
I repented to my son, David. My son, David, repented to me, and we're in front of my kids with all this going on. And brother, then we hugged each other, we embraced each other, and we told each other that we loved each other.
Amen. Amen. There's a lesson there. There's a lesson there. I'm trying to find in Matthew. Of course, I can't find it. Somebody knows it. I want you to know this. Is that it? It says in Matthew, return of Jesus, that he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Did you know that? Did you know that's in Matthew as well? A reaffirmation of the return of Jesus Christ is the idea of turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children, the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Boy, is fatherhood a mess in America today? Why? And no fear. Honor thy father and mother. We don't even teach it anymore.
It's Luke.
It's Luke?
Luke 1.
Okay, thanks. Luke. Thanks, Joe. Luke 1. Go there real quick, just so everybody knows we're not lying. Luke 1. Where is it? There it is. 17. Luke 1, 17. Can you throw that up real quick there, Spencer? I know you can. I'm still having... This has been really good.
Dave, let me throw something out there.
You got it.
Dale, you're talking about that you had to go and basically ask for forgiveness or whatever, or fix things with your own children.
Yep.
You know, when you have that moment, all right? What does normally the children are the ones asking you for forgiveness for that? So also when you go and something situation happens and you have to go to your own kids, which I've done that myself, I'll say, look, I didn't handle that right. I was wrong on that. And see, that also offers you humility, but it also shows them how much it really takes to forgive. And it teaches forgiveness.
It does.
Yep.
Same thing. So we just, you just can't be saying because I'm the dad, this is the way it's going to be, and just be hard-headed about things, you know, because then you're instilling these virtues into your children, and it's going to continue to be passed on.
Amen. Luke 1, 17. In fact, go up to about 15 if you can real quick there, Spencer. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Even from his mother's womb. We know who that was, right? Mm. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord, their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. There it is. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I just got to acknowledge my godly wife. That what happened up in that and up on that couch today is the Lord speaking to us through her. She was the one reading it. She was the one saying, "Listen to this. Listen to this." So I just want to acknowledge publicly that Michelle and I, we cleave. Two of us become one. And even though we have our tussles like everybody else, man, are we on the same page. We're on the same page. Got to close this down. It was 7:58. Got 2 minutes. I got one thing I want. I got several things I want to show to you. Never did. Understand this. One thing I got yesterday from yesterday's show. And what I got from Derek Prince. Repentance without change isn't repentance. It's remorse. We cannot, listen, friends, we cannot tell the Lord that we repent for abortion and permit it to continue. We cannot tell the Lord that we're sorry about the way that we've seen marriages destroyed and not do anything about it. We can't say, Lord, we're sorry about the acceptance of homosexuality and allow it to continue to go on. If there's not change, if there's not corresponding corrective action, you haven't repented.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
You know, national repentance, isn't that required to change the attitude toward a nation?
Yeah, it is. It is.
And national repentance about abortion, wouldn't that be stopping it?
Wouldn't that be it, Larry? Wouldn't that be the nation standing up saying, we're sorry, Lord, we have been so wrong here. Please forgive us. We ain't doing it anymore. Yeah.
So how on earth can we expect God's blessing when we haven't stopped murdering the innocent?
That's, yeah. And it applies to a lot of areas of our lives, doesn't it, huh? Heart of the children to the... Hey, listen. Are we going to do a show tomorrow? We all want to sleep in. Here's what I think. I don't want to burden Jared. Jared needs some time off.
Oh, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. Do you, Jared? Does Jared need time off tomorrow? You ready to work tomorrow? See, it's 7 o'clock.
Praise the Lord.
See you all 7 o'clock in the morning. Turn the hearts of the children of the Father. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God bless you. Be safe tonight. Don't do anything stupid tonight. Be safe. Love on your family. And let's kick 2021 off in the right direction. God bless. See you tomorrow morning.